It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The consumption of raw dairy is a debated topic. Some states, like Wisconsin, ban the sale and distribution of raw milk, but so-called incidental sales on the farm to consumers are okay. Wisconsin Farm Bureau delegates have changed position in favor of giving farmers more access to consumers through the sale of raw milk that meets quality standards. Call in with your questions about raw milk, raw dairy products, 800-642-1234. John Lucy is a food science professor and director of the Center for Dairy Research at UW-Madison. John, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, start with some nuts and bolts here. What separates raw milk from the milk someone, you know, buys at the grocery store?
Well, the primary thing about pasteurized milk and raw milk is the heat treatment that's given to the pasteurized milk. This is a legal requirement for a specific temperature and time. The most common one is about 161 degrees Fahrenheit for 15 seconds. There are some other time temperature combinations for things like cream and things like other products. But that's the main difference between a raw and a pasteurized product is the heat treatment. And that heat treatment was selected over quite a bit of years of study in the last century, where they were looking at what's the most heat-resistant human pathogen that might be found in milk. And then they said, okay, after they identified that pathogen, they would say, what do we need to do in terms of a heat treatment to kill that? Now, the pasteurization, I should point out, doesn't kill every bacteria that's present in milk. The focus for pasteurization is only on pathogens, things that can cause us to get sick, or we could possibly die from it as well. So that is the main difference between raw and pasteurized milk is the heat treatment.
We also see the word homogenized after that. What can you tell us there?
That's a kind of an optional thing. It's got nothing to do with destruction, you know, from a food safety point of view, okay, of pathogens. That basically breaks up the fat globules in milk and makes them much smaller, and then they don't cream as fast. What that means is before homogenization was introduced, people would, when they would get their milk from whoever, there would almost be a cream layer at the top of their milk glass bottle or whatever they got it. And that was because the fat rapidly rose to the top and formed a layer on top of it. That there's nothing at all wrong of it, but it was more of the consumers may prefer it not to form a cream layer and to be distributed throughout the milk. So it's basically a kind of an appearance thing. The homogenization is just basically like a large pump that just breaks up these large fat globules into smaller ones, and they don't cream as fast. That's all it is.
That helps. That's a good visual. Thank you for that. How then does raw milk taste compared to pasteurized milk?
I don't think, if we had a blind test here and I had a lot of people testing raw and pasteurized milk, we wouldn't be able to detect the difference between a raw and a pasteurized milk. I don't think there's any way for us to detect the fact that a heat treatment. Now, if we were dealing with something like boiled milk, and if we've ever made boiled milk at home to drink before we go to bed, you would notice a kind of a cooked note from that, because that's a much more aggressive heat treatment that's done in boiling. But the pasteurization is a relatively lower temperature in a shorter time. That isn't enough to cause a taste difference to the public.
We're talking about access to unpasteurized milk with John Lucy, director of the Center for Dairy Research at UW-Madison. Join in on raw milk, raw dairy, 800-642-1234. John, the sale or distribution of unpasteurized milk is illegal here in our state, but there are exceptions for the incidental sale of raw milk directly to consumers at a farm where the milk is produced. How do consumers know if a nearby farm sells raw milk?
That's a good question. I think, you know, as you mentioned, the regulatory environment across the whole U.S. is diverse and confusing, I would say. And some states completely ban it. Some have incidental sales. Some allow it relatively freely. Some allow internet sales. So it is pretty confusing for the public to find out what they should be doing and where they can do it and whether it's legal or not. So I think the situation here in Wisconsin is also a little bit gray. And there's been obviously a lot of debate about it over the last 20 years as well. So I still think it's probably unclear to the public.
How are Wisconsin laws on raw milk different than what you see going on in other states?
Some other states do allow the sale of raw milk from farms. In many examples, what they do is the state comes in and does some sort of certification process on the milk. And there are some inspections and there's some testing that they do. And under those conditions, they allow the sale of it under very specific conditions. That's a pretty typical one across many of the states that I'm aware of.
I wonder, you know, if that would be something, a product you would see in those states selling at a farmer's market or a venue like that?
Yeah, or direct to farm, some are selling it through internet sales, e-commerce type of sales as well. So I would say what the state is doing, or the state governments in these states are doing, is primarily they're having some testing of the milk sometimes during the month. They have some inspections required, some temperature where they required it to be kept cool, because if the milk is not stored very cold or at refrigeration temperatures, there's a chance of pathogens growing. So those are the kind of typical requirements that are put in.
That when you say internet sales, that somewhat surprises me, because that could mean that the milk is moving across state lines, or, you know, is moving somewhere else at a distance. And to keep it stable and to keep it safe, that would have added challenges, I think, in the transportation.
Exactly. That's a big concern. And in some states, for example, if you were a neighboring state to a state that that allowed it, but your state did not, again, it's a challenge. And from a regulatory point of view, how are you supposed to manage that situation? The concern from a science point of view, you know, from an academic point of view, is that, you know, the longer we hold the raw milk, the more chance we have of some bacteria growing in it, just because they have more time to grow. And this is especially true if the temperatures of storage creep up a little bit, just because it's not completely refrigerated. And that's where more of the pathogens start to grow. I should point out that one of the key pathogens that, you know, the public is probably aware of, like Listeria, that grows at cold temperatures anyway. So it grows faster at higher temperatures, but it does grow at refrigeration temperatures. So that's one we always watch out for.
Let's take a call now. Dan in Neenah. Dan, hi. Go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I wanted to make the comment that I grew up on a dairy farm, a multi-generation dairy farm, in a community of dairy farmers. Everyone I knew growing up seemed to come from a dairy farm. I'm not aware of a single person who ever became ill from drinking raw milk as what I grew up with. I would like to contest the speaker's point that there's no difference in the taste between raw or pasteurized milk. As a schoolboy, when I went to school, I was unable to drink the pasteurized milk because it does not hold the same bar of taste as raw milk, which I failed to mention in case it wasn't obvious. I grew up drinking raw milk out of our bulk milk tank from what farmers call the milk house, which is where the milk is stored in a cooled tank until it's collected by the milk companies. So
do you miss it now, or do you seek it out?
It's funny you ask that, because I've always claimed to be a milk aficionado. I can tell the difference in taste between different farmers' milk, even farmers within our own family, probably based on what they fed their cows. But to answer your question, I drank so much pasteurized milk now, I'm not sure I could go back to the real stuff.
Oh, Dan, thank you for sharing your story. John Lucy, what's coming up for you?
So I guess just to respond back to Dan's comment a little bit, I think he makes a great point about feed makes a big difference in terms of taste. I grew up on a dairy farm too. And as I was growing up, we drank raw milk from the bulk tank as well too. So just to put that out there as well. I think in terms of taste difference, yeah, I think there's a taste difference if you can have different feeds for cows. For example, if the cows are consuming grass or silage or corn, there are some compounds that are in the milk and you can taste a difference. And that's true. But that's not specifically about whether it was raw or pasteurized. the homogenization process, as you mentioned earlier, does change the perception of how you taste the milk as well, but that's not related to the pasteurization. And also, of course, is very a very important point here is, you know, very fresh milk that was just milked that morning, came straight from the cows, that seems to taste a lot better, like a lot of products, straight, fresh product that's consumed pretty quickly also tastes, you know, much better than something that's been stored and refrigerated for several weeks.
John Lucy is a professor of food science, leads the Center for Dairy Research at UW-Madison. Our guide to raw milk and issues on how to navigate farm and consumer policy, health issues surrounding raw dairy in our state. Join in at any point with your questions, your experiences, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss raw milk and products made from raw dairy, the risks associated with not killing harmful germs through pasteurization. The raw milk debate pits food safety concerns against health benefit claims, and its sale, for the most part, is illegal in Wisconsin. But there's new legislation cropping up in states like Missouri. Call in with your questions about raw milk or how you think raw dairy should be regulated, 800-642-1234. Food science professor John Lucy heads up UW-Madison Center for Dairy Research and stays with us. Let's bring in Jack in Madison. Jack, hello. What's on your mind?
Hi there. You know, it's really interesting. I should start by saying that my family has been very active in the raw milk movement, or at least we were in the late 2000s when it seemed like there was promise, you know, that the legislature and then Governor Jim Doyle would try and take up some legislation that would lead to the legalization of raw milk at the time. Unfortunately, that did not quite happen, but we were still pretty committed to it then. I think it is interesting because, you know, a lot of the arguments surrounding raw milk is that compared to pasteurized milk, regardless of how it was created, you know, before then, like if hormones or antibiotics were used on the cows, or if they were just left to roam around in the pasture or whatnot, is that pasteurized milk is always safer than raw milk. But it seems like that's not true, and it's at least it's not entirely true. And it was used as a cover-up by big dairy to, you know, hold down the competition and prevent small family farms from getting ahead. I guess with all that aside, like how is the Wisconsin legislature taking up that issue now, or how likely is it looking that Wisconsin could move towards potentially legalizing raw milk and, you know, like making that part of our legacy as the dairy state, you know, not just for being.
Jack, thank you for bringing up that policy history past to present. John, go ahead.
Yeah, a couple of things to talk about. I just want to come back to a couple of points that Jack raised. So almost all the milk now produced in the U.S., they don't use hormones for increasing milk productions anymore. That was something that came and consumers didn't like it. And so most pasteurized milk, and if you go look at your gallon jugs or your cartons, you'll see that most are making claims already that they are free from adding these additional hormones to it. All milk that comes to a dairy plant is tested for antibiotics, and it's rejected if it has any antibiotics tested for it. That's a mandatory test for all milk that's received at a dairy plant. The question about pasteurization, always safer. I would just make the point that the CDC does routine surveys of all kinds of foods, and it also does routine surveys of outbreaks associated with milk and dairy products. And every single one of those studies that have been done over the last 20 plus years, the vast majority, somewhere between 60, 70, or even higher percentage of the outbreaks that are associated with dairy have been found to be caused by raw milk or raw cheese. So those are the data. Even though raw milk, for example, is only consumed by a small fraction of the population, it causes the bulk of the outbreaks. So that's where the concern comes from. If raw milk consumption becomes more prevalent or more widespread, then the number of outbreaks is very likely to increase just because of what we see for the stats at the moment. So that's where the concerns are. Now, I grew up on a small dairy farm, and I understand the challenges, especially here in Wisconsin, of small dairy farmers have to make a livelihood and survive. But we also have, we are stewards of the land and of the products we produce. So my concern as a person who grew up on a farm, and my brother still farms, is I want to make sure the products I sell to the public is safe as I can hope to make it. There's no 100% guarantee, as you mentioned, but I have to be doing all I can do to make sure it's safe. Remember, many of the people who drank milk are children, and they are much more at risk of contracting diseases and getting affected by pathogens than maybe you or I, but they are the ones who are often drinking it for their breakfast as well, and they're more sensitive because their immune systems are not as well developed. And that's the thing that bothers me and keeps me up at night.
We're delving into questions around raw milk with John Lucey, professor of food science at UW-Madison. You can join in along the way, 800-642-1234. Kathy now in Madison. Kathy, hi, go ahead.
Hello. I'm calling because I have some comments about raw milk. My grandmother grew up on a farm in northern Michigan near Alpena, and she and her four brothers grew up on raw milk, and nobody was ever sick. When my grandmother was married and had her own family, she took my mother and her other three little girls up to the farm every summer, and where the little girls thought they were in heaven. And they could go out to the milking parlor anytime with a cup and just get some fresh milk. But what they really liked to do was get with the cow and just squirt it out of the cow right into their mouth.
That oh, my goodness.
For them. And, you know, let's see. And when my grandparents retired, they moved to Detroit. But when they retired, they moved back up north and bought property near where my grandmother's farm was. It had, you know, had grown up. And my mother and her sisters developed a relationship with a local farmer and got milk from them just down the road because they just loved fresh milk from the cow.
So very much a family history intertwined here with raw milk and generations drinking it. John, do you find stories like this when you talk with other farmers?
Yeah, it's very common. What I would make two observations. One is that, you know, if you look at studies that have been, and I'm involved in some of them right now, we have to be a little bit careful about a couple of things that we kind of assume about the scenario we just talked about. One is that there are enough studies now that have come out of Europe and the US that say people who live on farms and have close contact with cows and barns and other farm environment, they seem to pass along some protection to the infants and their young and their probably their family in terms of the farm environment. That is pretty much, I think, I have friends here and colleagues that work on allergies and asthma and all kinds of other conditions. And I think that's pretty much agreed that has been found by numerous studies and they accept that. The question is it something to do with consuming raw milk? Or is it the farm environment? Right now, there's no consensus about what protective factor it is from living on a farm that gives you, let's call it, some protection from some things like asthma and allergy and other kind of conditions. The other thing, too, and it's what we do know is that people, and especially traditional farmers like Amish, they have very low incidence of asthma and allergy. And we are studying it here in Wisconsin in a study that the UW Medical School is doing, and it's called the WISC, which is the Wisconsin Infant Study Cohort. And Anne-Marie Sang and Chris Urology are leading that. But they are studying this. They have been studying it for a number of years. Hmm. Raw milk is just one idea or hypothesis, but there are a lot of other topics in there. One of the things I would say is that what we have seen from studies so far is that it's the traditional lifestyle that gives the most protection, much more so than any type of correlation with whether people consume raw milk or not. So I just want to be people a little bit careful about that.
Making assumptions. I just want to pause right there. John Lucy, food science professor, leads the UW-Madison Center for Dairy Research. We'll pick this up. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, warns raw milk can carry harmful germs that may pose serious health risks. We explore the consumption of raw dairy, why it's a hot-button issue in states like Wisconsin, where dairy is big business. Join this discussion on raw dairy anytime. Your questions, your experiences, 800-642-1234. Food science professor John Lucy directs the UW-Madison Center for Dairy Research, stays with us. And Rob Rollier is a senior extension associate in the Department of Food Science at Cornell University, managing dairy extension programs in New York State, specializing in cheese and artisan cheese production and safety. Rob, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate.
Well, let's start with, you know, you being involved with helping dairy farmers understand regulations and food safety in your state. How are New York laws different from other states' laws regarding raw dairy?
Well, that's a great question. I deal a lot with raw milk farmers and raw milk cheese producers in New York State. The New York regulations allow raw milk sales on the farms. And they allow raw milk production, obviously, if it's aged 60 days, which is the federal limit. But I also deal with issues when people have outbreaks and things like that, or they have hot hits on their milk or on their cheeses, which we'll talk about probably later. But I help them, you know, try to understand what the risks are. I try to help them understand what they need to do to make sure that they don't have problems. And our state actually does inspections on these farms, and they're issued a license. So they're inspected every 90 days at the farm level. So we have state inspectors go into the farm and make sure that they're maintaining cleanliness and those types of things. And then they also take samples of the milk and they test them for pathogens. They have a specific pathogen screen. They're testing for four different pathogens currently. And that's done on a quarterly basis. So, we have about 35 to 40 farms that sell raw milk in New York State currently.
Okay. I'm going to bring in a comment here from Eric in Milwaukee. Got raw milk from a friend to make cheese, and Eric tried it and said it tasted great, but they got Campylobacter, the infection, and Eric missed a week of work and said once the doctors found out what it was, it took one pill to fix. What are some of the symptoms and illnesses that can be caused by consuming raw milk, Rob?
Campylobacter is probably the number one cause of illness from raw milk consumption. It's estimated with a lot of the studies that I've seen, including some that are done at Cornell, they found as much as 70% of raw milk can be contaminated with low levels of Campylobacter. The problem with Campylobacter is it can always have what we call long-term chronic sequelae, which basically amounts to you get sick from Campylobacter, but then your body has a reaction maybe 6 months to a year later, where it's called what they call Guillain-Barré syndrome. And it's basically, it basically paralyzes you. Mm. It can be permanent or it can go away on occasion. And it rarely happens. I mean, maybe 5 to 10% of people that actually get it have that occur, but it's something that can occur. It's just like people can get E. coli from milk, for example. That's another one that generally affects small kids the worst, because once you have E. coli, many of these kids develop hemolytic uremic syndrome and wind up being on dialysis for the rest of their life. So it can be a lifetime event if you get the right disease. Other things that you can get from raw milk consumption include salmonella. You could get strep infections. You can get staph infections, staph toxin poisoning, depending on the level of staph, which is a mastitis organism, so it's naturally found in raw milk. You could get brucellosis, which has kind of gone away, but not totally in that. You know, our herd health regulations have helped eliminate brucellosis and tuberculosis.
And I want to pause right there on brucellosis and bring in John Lucy as well here. John, we heard from Louise in Viroqua called and is curious about cattle brucellosis. Louise grew up on a dairy farm, and someone said, you know, they got Bang's disease, which I understand it's also been called, supposedly from drinking raw milk. And what can you tell us about that?
Well, historically, a large proportion of food-related diseases that were contracted by humans came from the consumption of milk from cows or close contact from cows or cattle. And brucellosis, tuberculosis were part of that. So I think we, as Rob mentioned, you know, we have done a great job here from the cattle side of things. We're trying to eliminate some diseases or reduce the incidence of it, but those are still a risk for contracting them from the consumption of raw milk. We're fortunate that when we look at pasteurization, it's targeted to destroy the most heat-stable pathogen that's present in the milk. So we're always looking at that and saying, what is another potential one out there that could be a risk to us? And let's make sure the heat treatment is killing enough. So I think, you know, overseas, that's still a factor, you know, in some countries because the cattle are in many parts of the world endemic for both brucellosis and tuberculosis.
Rob, you said you've seen a waning of brucellosis. What might be causing that?
Well, the animal herd health regulations that they've put in place across the country really have helped to eliminate that. The other piece of the puzzle was in the early 1900s when pasteurization starting to become widespread. The initial regulations were targeting tuberculosis because that was the organism that we thought at the time, well, they didn't think it was at the time, the most heat resistant that was transmissible from milk to humans. But we've since found Coxiella burnetti as being more heat resistant. So now that's the target organism. So that's another organism that causes Q fever that's transmissible from milk to humans. There, I gave you a short list of organisms and diseases that can come from drinking raw milk. There's many, many more, but that just gives you an idea.
Rob, we haven't talked about pregnant people. Why should pregnant people absolutely stay away from raw milk products?
Well, that's a huge concern because Listeria is an organism that's found in raw milk as well on occasion. It's also on occasion a mastitis organism that will show up in cows, but they won't really show signs of infection. So it's kind of a low-grade infection of the udder. And if a pregnant woman ingests Listeria, it can actually go through cellular membranes and into the placenta and cause the fetus to get sick. And we all know that it's hard enough coming out into the world being healthy. How would you like to do it being sick at the same time?
We are looking at the risks of raw milk consumption, the debate over raw milk. John Lucy and Rob Rollier. John is director of the Center for Dairy Research at UW-Madison. Rob, senior extension associate in the Department of Food Science at Cornell. You can join in along the way, 800-642-1234. Lee is here from Madison. Lee, what are you going to bring up?
Hi, thanks for my call. God, we grew up on the farm drinking raw milk. Up for breakfast and bring milk with us. I don't know why all the problems are today, but there is consumer pasteurizers you can use to pasteurize the milk that are convenient.
Have you used consumer grade pasteurizers, Lee? I think we've lost him. John, can you help us out there on consumer grade pasteurizers? What do you know?
Well, I think there's a lot of, over the years, especially as people started to get more aware of the risks of what could be in raw milk, there was a lot of different devices that people were sold that they could heat or boil their milk for heat treating it rather than drinking it raw. And one of the things that fascinates me is, you know, in Europe, they have vending machines for raw milk. In a place like Italy, I think a number of years ago, they had over 1,000 of these vending machines to allow access for raw milk to the public at various locations. But after some of the diseases that Rob was mentioning, including the hemolytic uric syndrome, that children, it's a serious condition for children, they now put stickers on, in Italy, they put stickers in all of those vending machines saying, please boil. And at farms too, it's very typical at farms, they either drink the raw milk, as we've been discussing this morning, or as they get more concerned about maybe something being in their milk, that they're boiling it. And it's that's usually a much more higher and aggressive heat treatment than the very short time and temperature that we're talking about from your regular pasteurized jug.
Have an email here from Grant, wants to know, Rob, the regulations about raw milk going into artisan cheese, and is it legal, and what should Grant be watching out for?
Well, the milk going into raw cheese is legal, yes. They've passed the, they're required to do antibiotic testing, which the raw milk farms in New York currently are not. So every dairy plant in the country has to test the truckload that's coming in for antibiotics. They screen for what are called beta lactams, which are the most commonly used antibiotics at the farm level on cattle. So if a truck has positive for antibiotics, they have to dispose of that. They can't use it in a dairy plant. The farms that sell raw milk and that are not testing for antibiotics at all. So you could go to a farm, it could be a very clean farm, and they might have tested a cow or treated a cow with antibiotics, put it in the tank, now you're going to get parts per million of a beta-lactam, for example. The raw milk cheese people are required to test for antibiotics before they put it into their raw milk cheese. There is literature out there that shows that raw milk cheese aged 60 days doesn't always necessarily kill pathogens. And I can tell you from experience and a lot of it that, and even in New York, because raw milk cheese is tested for pathogens on a regular basis by the state, we do find positive hits for Listeria and E. coli.
And in New York, what goes into a farm that gets a state license to sell direct to consumer on the farm? What does that state license entail?
Well, they have to maintain a clean farm, obviously clean to the, you know, and a regulatory standard is the lowest standard possible. So if you have a very clean farm, obviously you're going above and beyond, but there's a minimum cleanliness that they inspect for. They're also going to have to test for pathogens. The state actually does that every quarter, but to start your farm up, you have to test for pathogens. And I think you have to get two tests that are completely negative before they'll issue the permit. And then they have to have a sign, as John alluded to, that says that raw milk doesn't offer the same protection as pasteurization on the farm. And then they basically can start selling milk to the public.
John, do you hear anything there, New York's path with their license?
Well, I think that's pretty typical for a lot of states where they go through some sort of, you know, inspection, testing process. I want to come back to one of the comments that Rob is talking about. The raw milk for cheese, you know, that's what we call a 60-day rule, which means you can't sell it for 60 days, was originally developed from studies that were done on cheddar cheese, which is a very different product from maybe some of the artisan cheeses that might be produced. So any cheese that is high in pH, a soft cheese, for example, that is a much more significant risk to the public than your cheddar cheese. Why? Because there are pathogens that will literally grow while you're storing the cheese. So storing it for 60 days is not any protection at all. In fact, it increases the risk that there's more contamination in it. And when you look at outbreaks from CDC data, a lot of the outbreaks are coming from raw milk cheeses rather than raw milk itself.
John Lucy is a professor of food science, director of the Center for Dairy Research at UW-Madison. Cornell University's Rob Rollier manages dairy extension programs across New York State. Still time to call with your questions about raw dairy. Share your views on this debate, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore raw milk cheeses and what to know about the consuming of unpasteurized dairy. Still time to ask your question. Your call's welcome at 800-642-1234. Rob Rollier is here, Senior Extension Associate in the Department of Food Science at Cornell University. And we also have UW-Madison Food Science Professor John Lucey, who leads the Center for Dairy Research. They stay with us. John, you have mentioned, brought up the CDC a number of times here. I'm wondering, when you look at that CDC data, do more outbreaks related to raw dairy happen in states where it is legal to sell it?
Yes, that's correct, Kate. The funny thing about it, too, is you look to some of the data, even in states, if you look at over the last 20 years and the studies they've done, even in states where raw milk was illegal, there are outbreaks related to raw milk consumption. So what it means is that not everybody is following the rules, even in states where it's illegal, as we well know. But yes, you are correct. And that's the kind of concerning thing for me as we think about expanding access to raw milk, is that will increase the amount of outbreaks, the number of hospitalizations, and unfortunately, the likelihood of several deaths as well.
Rob Rollier, is there a way to sell and consume raw milk products safely?
Yeah, you can pasteurize it. I mean, there are other methods, but there's nothing that's approved. Like high pressure processing is being worked on to look at what it does to milk, and maybe that's going to be a method of the future, but it's currently not an approved method for pasteurization. You're on a farm, so milk comes from a cow, and the bottom end of the cow is closest to the manure pit, and there's just no way around that. That's just the nature of the beast, and so I'm a person that really advocates pasteurization, because most of the kids, or most of the people that get sick from raw milk outbreaks, are generally small kids. Matter of fact, the CDC that John's talking about, they did a study in 1998 that encompassed about 20 years, and about over half of those outbreaks, at least one kid from that was under five, it's going to vary by the size of the outbreak, obviously, was included in the outbreak. And people say, well, these people that I'm selling milk to are my friends. Well, nobody's your friend when their kid is now sick and it's been attributed back to your product. And that's the scariest part. And the other issue you run into is legality. Is your farm insurance cover you selling a raw milk product? We have some litigation going on in New York, as a matter of fact. One was going to a criminal trial. I don't know how it's turned out, if they went to the grand jury yet or not, but this person made a raw milk cheese and two people across state lines died from it. And it's a federal offense. They were going to take him to federal court and they were going to criminally charge him. So there's that aspect of it too.
I haven't thought about the insurance riders on raw dairy. Let's go to Karen in Galena. Karen, what would you like to bring up?
I'm wondering if salmonella poisoning can have long-term effects on the kidney, the GFR rates, similar to the E. coli that can also be caused by raw milk.
Karen, thank you. Rob, can you field that?
That's a little bit out of my area
of
expertise.
Out of your wheelhouse. Okay.
Yeah, I missed that week of medical school. it wouldn't surprise me if the answer is yes, because everybody reacts differently to certain things. And I know Campylobacter is one for sure that can cause long-term issues. Obviously, E. coli, we already know that. But salmonella, it wouldn't surprise me either. Generally, E. coli is a little bit more aggressive in creating problems in the intestine in terms of just damage overall. But salmonella wouldn't surprise me. John might have more insight on that.
Anything else there, John?
No, I think Rob has covered it well. I think, you know, some of this comes down to two kind of questions for me when we think about all of these topics. One, are there pathogens likely to be present in raw milk? And the answer there is a very definitely yes. We can argue about the percentage of it in there, what types, but very definitely from every study done from New Zealand to Europe to the US is because of what Rob mentioned, the farms themselves are a reservoir of pathogens and the cows and cattle themselves are a reservoir. That means they have it in their GI tract and it's in the soil and water. So there's nothing we can ever do to stop farms and cattle having pathogens. It's whether they get into the milk. The second question that comes up for me is, why would we want to take that risk, especially for kids or pregnant women or somebody who has more of a heightened risk? Is there a nutritional benefit from consuming the raw milk? And about 7 reviews have been done over the last 10 or 15 years, and none of them have found any nutritional benefit from consuming raw milk. So I go look at that, and at that point, I'm going like, well, there is the chance that raw milk is in there. Yes, if you grew up on a farm and you're used to drinking raw milk, you're probably a little bit more conditioned to it than the general public. But the fraction of people living on farms now in the US is tiny compared to what it was 20, 30, 50 years ago. So that's the kind of situation that I look at right now.
Very quickly, as we're out of time, Rob, do you see states expanding their policy, making it legal or illegal? Is there movement around the country on this?
Well, there's always movement. I know Missouri's considering it now as well. And there are probably a few other states. A lot of times it'll get into a committee, like an agricultural committee in one of the state houses, and they'll talk about it, they'll pass it. But when it gets to the mainstream to get to the governor's signature, it falls down. And it's really more a mechanism of you know, the fringe on either side trying to figure out, you know, well, we want this to pass. So they talk to their congressman, and then the other side says, well, it's a public health issue and we don't want it to pass. And then that's where the fight really starts.
Well, thank you both for bringing clarity on this. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you.
John Lucey, professor of food science and the director of the Center for Dairy Research at UW-Madison. Rob Rollier, senior extension associate in the Department of Food Science at Cornell University. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.